when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you, thank you, thank you for keeping us on the air and listening to the first hour. Excuse this never-ending hack of mine. It'll be gone just a second. Anyway, if just in case you're tuning in, we had my little sister, Braveheart Monica Schaefer, was on the first hour, and we covered as best we could in that short of time what's going on with the McMichaels case. They had Greg McMichaels, the son. Greg McMichaels, the father. Travis, the son, it was a father and son team put into prison. It's been five years ago. The 5th year anniversary just went by. Just a brief recap. They got killed. They were convicted of murder, falsely convicted in the kangaroo court. They had a fight with a feral black animal. He was a serial felon, a very long record, violent record, carrying a loaded firearm on school property, public school property, fighting with police with a loaded firearm, and just a long, long record. He attacked the McMichaels. McMichaels had a shotgun. You know, we did all talk about it in the first hour anyway. They've been in prison now for 4.5 years after their trial, and they're up there coming up for, they're trying to get an appeal with the court. If they lose the appeal, there's one more appeal, one more court. It'll be the Georgia State Court, Supreme Court. And so keep them in your prayers. We'll bring an update next week on how you can go to their Gifts and Go Fund for them, how you can get in touch. You send messages to the McMichaels, how you can keep up to breast on that case. That's what we did the first hour. This second hour here, we got the bitter ender, Gene Andrews himself, coming in on the second. He usually comes third, but I'm glad he could come in the second hour with one of our friends, one of our admirers, one person we admire, Jason Kessler, who organized. He was the guy who put together the Unite the Right conference back in August. August 12th of 2017. And me and Gene were there. Of course, Jason was there too, and that was one hell of an experience. But we got him on, and I told Jason we could talk about the President Trump, some weird things going on there. But we could also talk about anything these guys want to talk about. There's just so much to cover. We could just throw a ball or a rock, it would hit an important subject to talk about. So since we have the guests, these guys, I always like to defer to them to see what they like to talk about. And Gene, we'll see what would you like to cover first, Jason?
Anything. I guess from my perspective, there were a lot of things that happened with Trump. Last week was kind of slow. This week, it's kind of a mixed bag with him. He endorsed Vivek Ramaswamy for governor of Ohio. He created some gold card plan for rich foreigners to buy American citizenship. And he had a few other missteps. But then again, very recently, I was very pleased with that conference that he and the vice president had with the rat Zelensky in the White House. So I'm very pleased with that. Besides that, what's going on? They had the supposed release of the Epstein files at the White House, and that was basically just a dud, a non-happening, nothing new that's going to lead to an arrest came out of it. It was just a photo op. Those are the big things from my perspective.
How about you, Gene? How would you like to respond to that, Brother Gene?
Oh, well, let me first of all say it's a real honor for me to be on a program with Jason. When we went to the event in Greenville, South Carolina last year for the political cesspool, I got three copies of Jason's book, Charlottesville, The Death of Free Speech, and he signed one of those to me and one to my brother. And so I really appreciate him doing that, and that's one of my prized possessions that I hang on to. And so to be there with somebody that went through that and the garbage he had to face after it was over, this was a thing that galled me to no end. The police stood around with their thumbs stuck up their rear end. They did nothing to keep Antifa and Black Lives, you know, Black Lives Don't Matter to Other Blacks or whatever they call themselves, from attacking us. And yet our people that organized the Unite the Right, they were the ones that were drug into trial, these Soviet show trials they put on after it was over. And as far as I know, not one single Antifa was charged with anything, assault and battery and all of the things they did to our people and that were hit from behind, attacked from behind when we were trying to get out of there. And they did nothing about that. And you talk about a rotten government. That's one of the worst governments in the history of the country, was that low-down mayor and their darky affirmative action police chief that just stood by and let that happen and then turned around and charged us. We had a permit to be there and charged us and our people that organized it with all kind of junk. So, Jason, thank
you. Gene, can
you
guess who the last person I mailed a copy of the book out to was? It's a famous person. Just take a guess.
President Trump? He needs to read it.
Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson.
No kidding.
Oh, copy
Tucker,
of the book.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. Boy, he'll do an expose on it, that's for sure.
I hope so. That would change everything. If Tucker covered it, you know, we would get all the conservatives to listen to our side of the story for once, and it might
Absolutely.
Change the reputation of the event forever.
Yes, it would. Yes,
that
it would.
That is huge. That's huge.
Oh, man, that would be great to have him, you know, bring that out and show what a lying pack of rats there were that turned on us. And, you know, we went over there, Eddie and Rich and all of us went by there Friday night just to see where it was and see where we were going to park and found the parking garage and all that kind of stuff. And they had these fences set up. And so we're saying, okay, we'll be on one side, and the Antifas, we knew they were going to show up to show their ass. And they'll be on the other side, and they had a gap in the middle, and they said, well, they'll have the police in between. And we thought, well, you know, we'll go there. We had, I think, 11 to 1 or something like that was the permit. And we'll, you know, speak up for General Lee and the statue there for Lee, a Virginian in Virginia. That made sense. And then let them yell and holler and do all their stuff, and then we'll leave. But Lord of mercy, it did not work out that day. We had to, I don't know where you were. I read in the book approximately where you were. We were fighting our way from the garage up Market Street just to get to the park. We got attacked before we ever got to Lee Park. And
yeah, you were
way.
With League of the South, right?
Yeah. And,
it was thanks to you guys that I made it into the park safely, and I'm sure thanks to you guys a lot of people made it in safely, because I just happened to be fortunate enough to be coming towards that park right when y'all were marching down the center of the street, and all these armed anarchist cretins and every violent black that had poured out of the ghetto were waiting, and no one was paying attention to us because they were all looking at that big column of men marching in their direction.
I tell you what, coming up that street, and it was cut down to just one lane. They had all these TV trucks parked along the side of the street and took up a whole lane or more right there with their big satellite dishes on them. And being funneled into that narrow opening and seeing that mob at the end of the street, I had not necessarily a flashback, but a gut reaction to, holy shit, we're going into a combat zone in Vietnam.
Yeah.
That's just what it was like. Right there, you say, you know, except we didn't have a rifle company of Marines and M60 machine guns and M79 grenade launchers or anything like that to defend ourselves. But it was that same feeling that this does not look good. We're going into a real shitstorm here. I don't know what's going to happen, but it doesn't look good. And I'm really honored to be on the program with you, and thank you for what you've done, and thank you for what you've had to go through after all of that was over.
Thank you kindly for that praise, and it's an honor to be on with both of you gentlemen as well.
Thank you for being on. We'll be going to a short break in just a minute, but you know what? But if you want to, if it's okay with Gene, Jason, why don't you tell them some of the things that you, Gene said, all the crap you had to go through since then. We're going to a break now. When we come back this break, Gene, you and y'all could go over what, some of the things Jason's had to go through, the shit he's had to go through since then. So be right back, folks.
People need to learn about that.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm really excited to have these two warriors on tonight. I really am. God almighty, I've got chills. But anyway, Jason's going to go back. Gene brought it up. He said, he's respecting Jason, and I do too. I've got to get that book. I want one autographed, but I don't want to forget that. Jason, tell me how to do it, where to send it to. And by the way, before I ask you this question, Jason, how can people get this book? They need to get that book, Charlottesville, The Death of Free Speech. How can they get that book?
Well, we have a website, and that's the best place to buy it. The name of the publishing house is Dissident Press. And that's also the address that you can find it online. If you type in dissident.press, not .com, but .press, you'll find it. You can also Google search Dissident Press, or you could go to my website, jasonkessler.us, and right at the very top, you'll see a picture of the book and a link to go to the book. You can also buy it on Amazon, if for whatever reason, that you're more comfortable with that, but I would highly recommend doing it off of the website, because Amazon takes a big chunk of money, so we have to charge more, so you get it a lot cheaper and you have more options. You can get the signed versions if you want through the website, and Amazon doesn't offer that.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And we were talking about Gene brought it up, He reminded the people of all the shit you've had to go through since the Battle of Charlottesville, the hounding and the lawfare, et cetera, from the feds and from the state. So if you will, tell us about some of those hardships you had to go through, Jason.
Well, it was just so much. I mean, they doxed my address. I had to move out of my apartment in Charlottesville, basically under threat, as there were Antifa and journalists that were trying to break into my house and asking all of my neighbors about me, you know, with an agenda to create some hit piece. People were calling me night and day, emailing me, sending me horrible things, threats, pornography, all kinds of stuff. They tried to file numerous charges against me, not even for the rally. It just goes to show that, you know, how political the criminal justice system is in this country, is if you become an unpopular person in your community, they will find a reason to file charges against you. As the saying goes, you know, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Because you can file something against anybody. You know, the people who sued me were some of the most powerful people in the world, people who went on to sue Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump, Roberta Kaplan and her cronies. These are some of the most powerful Jews in New York and indeed in the Democratic Party nationally. And they were going up against guys like me. I didn't, you know, I had to start a business from scratch just to be able to pay the enormous attorney's bills. I think throughout the course of the lawsuits, both the ones that I was had filed against me and the one that I filed against Charlottesville, I probably spent about $100,000. Now, I did take in some donations, so there was like some amount of that that wasn't me, but I started a business just for that purpose. You know, members of my family, some of them turned against me. Friends that I used to have who were liberals would suddenly remember me differently and start talking to the media saying, oh, he's such a bad guy, blah, blah, blah. It really was hell. And even the conservatives, a lot of them attacked me because of the Alex Jones style conspiracy theories and, you know, claiming that we're working for Obama, working for Hillary. There was just no safe harbor anywhere. It was a very stressful time in my life.
Good night.
Go ahead, Gene.
That is just so unbelievable, but I know he's telling the truth. And what would happen in this country, this is something that you'd expect in the Soviet Union, that you spoke out against the commissar and now all the secret police and everybody are coming after you and, you know, they're going to arrest you and drag you off to a gulag somewhere. But it happens here in this country. And the people that are behind it are these liberal bastards that talk about inclusion and diversity and, oh, we all got to get along and we can't judge people by their race or their religion and stuff like that. And yet they're the most narrow-minded, hypocritical bigots that ever walked the face of the earth or crawled out of a swamp somewhere, which I think is where most of them live. And that just proves it right there and what they tried to do.
Yeah, they have a totalitarian ideology and they have no tolerance for any diversity of viewpoint whatsoever. They demand total submission.
Yeah, but they talk a good game, and that's the thing. You know, they have tolerance and diversity and everything. As long as you agree with them letter for letter and word for word, that's fine. But, you know, if you're whatever, transgender, black, whatever, you know, descended from monkeys or whatever you are, that's fine as long as you agree with them. And then, boy, if you step out of line, that's the end of the road right there. Yeah, I've seen that happen over and over again. But one other person I want to mention that we really owe a debt of thanks to is Matthew Goodwin that went with us.
Yes.
And he's a young fella, and he was on the front lines. And it was the young people up front that saved us from literally being killed, I think. And they
How's he doing these days? Have you kept up with him?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's doing fine. They're getting ready to have another baby. This will be their third one. Cool. So,
many of the kids has he had since he got out?
He's had two since he got back. Had one, I think one before he went up there, and then they've had two more since then. So they say they're going to have eight. So I don't know what that's going to be like, but I think he's trying to have his own baseball team or something. He's one more, somebody from the bullpen, I guess. But Matthew was out
today.
He was out there in front, and the young people that were in front really took the brunt of the attack. And I think Matthew got sprayed with paint or something like that. And so it was them that kept us from literally being killed by the Antifas and the black feral animals. And our hats go off to them, and our thanks go out to them for, like I said, bearing the brunt of the fighting. And they were the ones that were up there where that crazy black guy tried to burn them with that homemade flamethrower. You know, that was all the things we had to go through just to be there. And so how many different trials or lawsuits did you have to fight your way through after all of this was over?
I lost track of them. Of course, there was the lawsuit filed by Roberta Kaplan. There was another one filed by some local attorneys. There was a scuffle that I had gotten involved in when I was trying to do a recall petition for the black supremacist vice mayor, Wes Bellamy, and that was before the rally. And that was used to go after me for a bunch of things. I had to, because I punched this dude who laid hands on me when I was trying to do this petition drive. So they leveraged that to the hilt, right? Like an attorney approached them and offered to file a lawsuit against me, pro bono. They charged me with, assault. They charged me with perjury, all this stuff to try and, get me, behind bars, to take away my voting and gun rights, all of this. These trannies would film themselves, you know, these attention whores would film themselves going into police stations saying, I've got it. I've got the thing that's going to put him behind bars, and just totally fraudulent, things. Of course I had to file my own lawsuits. You know, I fought to get as much information out from behind the Iron Curtain as I could. I sued an Antifa for harassing me when I was trying to do coverage outside of the DeAndre Harris trial. I sued the city of Charlottesville for Freedom of Information Act request violations. I sued them based on the Public Records Act, because if you recall, the Charlottesville Independent Review, aka the Heafy Report, alleged that the police chief had destroyed communications relevant to the rally in a cover-up. And through that, I discovered new things that weren't in the Heafy Report, that also the head of the Charlottesville government, another black guy called Maurice Jones, had also destroyed text messages, something very, very fishy. So there were all kinds of cases that I was involved in.
Gosh. You might want to tell our listeners about how all this came together, the meetings that you had with the mayor and the police chief, and how you had to beg and plead to have security. And they said, finally relented and said, yes, we'll have security. And then the day of the event, they completely changed what they told you in a few days prior to that. Why don't you tell them what all you had to go through there just to get the security, and then what happened?
Well, yeah, it was a big mess. Just within less than a week of the date of the rally, a secret closed-door meeting was held by the leaders of the Charlottesville government, including the city councilors, the chief of police, and the city manager. And
we'll come back and get it right after the break. There's some music to go to a break, and please pick that up as soon as we get back from the break.
It is going to be kind of a long break, Jason. And listeners, if you need to go use the restroom, get you some coffee or anything, so if you got 4 or 5 minutes, there's plenty of time. Be right back, folks.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Inflation dropping a bit in January.
The latest numbers from the Commerce Department show a slight decrease in inflation last month as consumers cut back on spending by the most in 4 years. Economists are watching closely for any impact from ongoing tariff threats and potentially sweeping government job cuts. The president claims tariffs will make America rich, even though analysts expect consumers and companies will likely bear the brunt of higher import duties. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Well, get ready to say goodbye to Skype. Microsoft closing down the video calling service that it purchased for $8.5 billion in 2011, and which had helped to spark a transformation in how people communicate online. Tech giant will retire Skype come May. Also, at townhall.com, several GOP senators have rallied to support President Trump following that tense Oval Office meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Here's Bernie Bennett.
Speaking with reporters, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says President Trump reacted properly to Vladimir Zelensky being disrespectful.
Somebody asked me, am I embarrassed about Trump? I have never been more proud of the president. I was very proud of J.D. Vance standing up for our country.
Other GOP senators who voiced clear support for Trump shortly after the interaction on social media included Florida Senator Rick Scott, Kansas Senator Roger Marshall, Missouri Senators Josh Hawley and Eric Schmidt, and West Virginia Senator Jim Justice. Bernie Bennett reporting.
President Trump says he will issue a complete pardon for Pete Rose, who was banned from the game and, of course, the Hall of Fame for sports betting. He says Rose shouldn't have been gambling on baseball, but he did only bet on his team to win, not lose. He will sign a pardon over the next few weeks. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95. An easy, affordable way to see how it could literally change your life, like it has mine. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Trying it couldn't be easier with their three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. And it just takes a phone call to 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, every day you feel better is a day you live better. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start. Visit ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're having a great show right here. We really got some great people. I'll tell you what, I agree. We've had several members. We have one guy named Frank White. He's a Yankee from up north of the Mason-Dixon line. He always says that Gene Andrews is a national treasure, and I'll second and third that. We just had another call from Ola Sasquatch down in the swamps of Florida. He says, great show, Bombardier. I wanted to go to Charlottesville, but Miss Dawn was in the hospice. I still remember listening to you reporting live during that whole thing. And he says, he's listening. He says, he didn't want to come on the show, though. He said he didn't want to quit drinking his wild turkey. But anyway, Sasquatch was swamps. I'm sure Gene and Jason say hi down there to the swamp lands of Florida. Watch them gators down there, buddy, because they'll even get for a Bigfoot. But anyway, continue on, Gene. You're asking some excellent questions. Matter of fact, you should have been on the street asking the damn questions in Charlottesville, guy. You missed your call. But go ahead, Gene.
No. And I apologize to Jason for cutting him off there on the break, but I heard the music coming on. He was telling us what a shafting he got from that low-rent mayor in Charlottesville and that affirmative action darky police chief. They had the security set up, and then they bailed out on it, changed it a couple of times, as I remember. And I got this from reading the book. I didn't know all this went on ahead of time. And then, you know, just totally bailed out on it the day of the event. So, Jason, if you could just kind of pick up again where we were before the break and tell everybody what happened, how they lied to you, and how much this was a government setup.
Well, a lot of this stuff you can check for yourself if you buy the book and you look at the footnotes. I have links where you put that in your web browser, and it'll take you to actually recordings. The police secretly recorded most of our meetings, so you can see the truth of what I'm saying for yourself. But they promised me that there were going to be 8 squadrons of police officers there to keep the peace. They were going to have undercover cops embedded in the crowd to break up fights, that they were going to have an escort for speakers, and all manner of things that didn't materialize. And as I was saying before the break, what happened is the leaders of the government called a secret closed-door meeting. And we know about what happened now because the mayor has written a book and various people have talked about what happened. But even though the mayor isn't really in charge in the Charlottesville government system, he usurped the authority of the city manager. He pulled rank. He hired this big shot law firm, Boy Schiller Flexner, who's worked for Harvey Weinstein and a bunch of people. And they were trying to come up with a way to cancel the permit so we couldn't speak. And all these city councilors voted on it, and they said, no, we got to cancel the plan. And they told the police chief, you're no longer allowed to talk about doing a rally in Lee Park. You have to talk about some other location, McIntyre Park, way far away from the Lee statue. So that's what happened, basically. And even though I won a federal injunction with the help of the ACLU, which put the permit back in Lee Park, the police never went back to their original plan. There weren't any Charlottesville police officers there, let alone 8 squadrons. They just hung back and they waited for violence to break out and allowed people to get hurt so that they could have a pretext to declare unlawful assembly and abridge our free speech rights. So that's what happened.
Well, that I remember reading that in the book, and I'm so glad that the book was a paperback, not a hardback. I got so mad I was ready to throw it through a wall when I read that. And have to go back and sheetrock our house. But anyway, that is just so infuriating about how the government set this thing up to make it look back. And the only other thing I can compare it to is January 6th. That was a government setup to discredit the Trump people and conservative people. And it just proves how rotten our government has been, that they do all this dirty undercover stuff to try to discredit anybody that disagrees with them. And it is like the Soviet Union, that they pull this kind of garbage, and then they expect us to wave the flag and say, oh, it's the greatest country in the world, yada, yada, yada. And it has some great people, but not the ones that have been running it. I don't know how much it's going to change with the change in the House and the Senate and the White House, but I hope they're going to get their act together. And it seems
once
like
Trump got back in and started pardoning the January 6th people and saying that he was no longer going to allow the DOJ to prosecute January 6th people, I finally was able to come out and talk publicly about the fact that I was at January 6th as well. I was one of a very small handful of people who were at both Charlottesville and J6. And yes, they were similar things. Basically, the premise is that these government officials know that when there's a conservative or nationalist protest, all they have to do to turn it into an op. It's no big complicated conspiracy. They just don't do anything. They don't maintain law and order. They allow a riot to break out, and then they use it as a cudgel to attack Trump or the Republicans or white nationalists or whoever their boogeyman is.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And, you know, it is really rotted, my opinion, of the police and the government officials and local level and state and even federal, at the Justice Department was behind all of this. And, you know, everybody that was there in Charlottesville, the police, the Virginia Highway Patrol, they were the ones that pushed us out of the park. And when that Terry McAuliffe, a member of the Clinton Crime Syndicate, who was governor then, said, oh, the Commonwealth of Virginia has declared an emergency. Your permit is being revoked. You have, I don't know, something like 10 minutes to clear the area. And so then the worthless cops, the Highway Patrol, finally did something. They put on their Darth Vader helmets and had their shields and started literally pushing us out of the park. And there was one, I remember this, this is my remembrance of Charlottesville. There was one highway patrolman that I've been talking to, and I asked him about the Lee statue. Is it the same type of statue that was on Monument Avenue? Of course, they hadn't torn down Monument Avenue yet. That wasn't until 2020. And he said, yeah, basically, but this one's smaller than the one on Monument Avenue. And I thought he was a pretty decent guy. And so then he puts on his Darth Vader helmet and got his shield. And I said, he starts pushing people out. You got to leave. You got to leave. You got so many minutes to get out of here. I said, listen, we're ready to leave. If you'll just get us a way out of here where we can get back. He said, shut the F up or you're going to jail. And that was the type of law enforcement we had out there. So, you know, my opinion of the Virginia Highway Patrol is not very good. And when we got back to that camp or church camp or wherever, whatever it was, that we had, where they had all the different buildings, where we were staying, it wasn't a motel. It's like the different buildings. And we heard the news last night that a helicopter had crashed and killed two highway patrolmen. A big cheer went up because they're the ones that screwed us. And they pushed us out of the park. And there was a stone wall across one edge of the park about 4 or 5 feet high off the sidewalk. And there was only two ways to get in. They had steps at one corner and steps at another corner. But when they pushed us out, you had to jump down off of that stone wall down to about 4 feet down to the sidewalk, and they pushed us right into that howling mob out there on Market Street. And then we had to fight our way back out of there another 2 or 3 blocks to get back to the parking garage to try to get in the car and get out of there. So my opinion, the Virginia Highway Patrol is not much, and too bad two of them bit the dust, but they had it coming. And like they used to say in Nam, payback's a medevac.
What they did was totally intentional. If you're aware of the history of these type of protests, it couldn't be any more obvious.
I actually have a chapter towards the end of the book. I have several chapters of analysis, and I compare the events of Charlottesville to what happened with the National Socialist in the famous Supreme Court Scogie case,
right,
where the ACLU represented this National Socialist group that wanted to march through a Jewish suburb of Chicago. And so once they won their permit to march, they actually didn't go to Skokie. They went to Chicago, which was their original intention. But the ruling still applied to that, you know. And so they were able to do their march. And they essentially, the police did what they did for me in 2018 at the Unite the Right 2 rally in Washington, D.C. They separated the two sides by a huge distance. So it's known their standards and practices for how to do this protest, and they purposely sabotaged it.
We got to take our last break, Jason. We'll be right back, folks. I can't believe this hour is just about gone. Be right back, people.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
In the morning. Smells like victory. Some folks
are born made. Ooh, Blood River Radio family. I'm so happy to have Jason and Gene. I just like to kick this last thought in. I can remember it just like yesterday with me and Gene and Matt Goodwin and Simon Rhodes and Rich Hamblin and a whole bunch of other young guys being in the little compound that Gene was talking about. It's kind of a strange place up there, kind of weird in some ways. But anyway, we had all these young guys in there, and we had some of the young guys, Gene, coming in. I mean, we hadn't been there long at all. Some of them were still, like, rubbing their wounds. And I still remember one fellow. I wished I could remember his name. I'll make this short because this is kind of a highlight for me. He was this really big kid, probably about 20-ish. He was a football player. He was from Florida. I don't know if he played for Florida State, but he was a hoss. 6'5", 305 pounds, didn't have an ounce of fat on him. And he was telling a story. We were broadcasting out when I was with TPC. And I kept handing the microphone off these young guys. You know, about every 2 minutes, we'd have a different guy I was interviewing. And he said, yeah, We went into the garage. He's talking about that famous garage where the fight took place, and where we parked. He said, and they made a mistake coming in there and jumping on us. And he said, we laid an ass kicking on them. That they ain't never gonna freaking forget. I mean, but it was funny. It made, but he was really getting into it. I mean, you wouldn't want the guy, this guy. I mean, 6'5", he's 6'5", 305 pounds, 20-year-old football player. They were kicking some ass. Anyway, back to you, Gene.
No, back to Jason. before we run out of time on our last segment here, I'd like for him to tell you, tell our listeners about how he had asked some reporters about covering this and about maybe getting on our so-called conservative national news network and what their answer was. So, Jason, how about going and telling our listeners that story you were telling us during one of the breaks there, please, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Fox News was in lockstep with the rest of the media on the narrative and just blaming the protesters, not really properly investigating what role the government had had in the riot breaking out. And I was hoping I could get on to Fox News, maybe with Tucker Carlson. And the anchor that Fox News had on the ground in Charlottesville was a guy named Doug McElway, who I believe has since retired. But I called McElway and I told him, look, I'm the guy. I'm the permit holder. I helped organize this thing. I know what really happened. I was in discussions with the police and the government. Get me on and let me talk so I can tell the American public the truth about what happened. And he basically just came back and said, it's too hot. You know, they won't touch it. And so I've been trying to get on Tucker Carlson for a long time to tell my side of the story. And so it's a long time coming if that does end up happening.
And yeah, I think I remember you say that he got one of your books or had it sent to him. So hopefully he'll take the time to read it and find out what really happened. And then maybe he can come on with his podcast and nationally set the story straight, because no other news outlet is going to do anything.
I didn't just send it to him, you know, willy-nilly. He requested it, so I'm hoping
he'll
read it.
Oh, great. Good. 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 Well, it's a great book.
It's huge. That's huge.
People, it's like I said, it should be required reading for anybody that claims they're conservative, especially if they're in a national organization like the Republican Party or, you know, MAGA Republicans or something like that. They need to know what happened. And I like your analogy of comparing it between January 6th. It was the same. Both of them were setups. And set up to discredit conservative people or nationalist people or you know, people that are speaking up for our race and our heritage. We're not allowed to do that. But everybody else can get drunked up and run around on Cinco de Mayo or Black Hysteria Month or, you know, Transgender Month or whatever else. That's fine. But when we have anything about our heroes from the Confederacy or just Southern heroes in general or our race or our heritage or anything, they just turn on us like we've just landed from some foreign planet. So once again, Jason, thank you so much for what you did, and I hope you'll keep fighting and keep promoting the truth of what happened in Charlottesville, because people need to know that. And
absolutely will.
Oh, great. Good for you. You're quite a warrior there in this 21st century battle that we've got going on. So our thanks to you for what you've done and what you've had to go through. And I think it's interesting, you talked about how some of your so-called friends, all of a sudden, when all this happened, they believe, mm-hmm. they don't believe you, they believe the junk they got off of television and the national news. And I'll bet you money those people before this were griping about how slanted the news is. And then this happened, and there they go. So,
yeah, the propaganda is just it's on another level. Fortunately, most of the audience will have to live through it. But, I mean, they were talking about me like I was the son of Sam, like I was some serial killer or whatever. And so Could you imagine being in the shoes of somebody who's not even a political person, and then somebody in their family gets involved in a political controversy like this, and they're talking about it like, I put that kid's foot on the pedal to run over Heather Heyer myself, and, you know, just blaming me for everything, like talking about me like I fought in World War II or something and was operating the gas chambers in Auschwitz or whatever. You know, I didn't do anything. I just tried to hold a free speech event in my hometown.
Guy.
Speaking of the guy, the James Fields that got railroaded, he was in that, what was it, a Dodge Charger?
Challenger.
Dodge Challenger, and they tried to mob him. I guess has anybody heard from him, any of y'all? Any of you guys have? What's the last time we've heard from him? I'm sure he'll never get out of jail, but I wonder if he's still alive, I wonder. What if they hadn't killed him in prison?
Yeah, of course, he's still alive. I actually wrote a letter to him and Derek Chauvin some time ago, but I didn't get a response from either one of them.
Well, that's our wonderful justice system. And I read, and I think it was in your book also, that girl that died of a heart attack, and it wasn't a blunt trauma from being hit by the car. Because you remember...
She was hit by the car. It was she had cardiac arrest, but it was cardiac arrest due to blunt force trauma. If you see the pictures that I put in that book, because there's big color photographs, HD quality photographs,
that woman
was as big as a horse. There's no way even a little Pinto would have hit that woman if it was driving down that street.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember
Jason,
you're
cutting in and out real bad. Have you near a window or something? For some reason, you're coming in and out real bad. But go ahead.
I'll just switch my microphone.
That's better.
Is that better?
That's much better.
Oh, that's better.
Much better.
We got you now.
I was just saying that I have photographs in the book that should make it pretty clear for people. You'll see what she looked like and where she was on the street. I mean, she was just as big as a horse, so there's no way, even if you were driving some little Pinto, even if you're driving a golf cart, there's no way you could have hit that woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it was hot. I mean, it rained the day before, and the humidity, that day for the event there at Charlottesville, my clothes were just soaking wet from the humidity and the heat. It was. And like you said, that picture of her in the book, she was bigger than a horse. That's insulting horses. I've seen some really good horses at the Kentucky Derby, and she was a lot bigger. She made the Budweiser Clydesdales look small. I'm not kidding you. So,
she had her Newport cigarettes in hand, and, I mean, I think she was into black guys. They must have been eating a lot of fried chicken together because, boy, did that stuff go to her stomach. I mean, I could see why people think that she had a heart attack from surprise, because look, a lot of people got hit by that car. Only one of them died. And it's no coincidence that it was the one who probably had heart problems to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole thing. I thought that was another one of those set up deals that, like George Floyd, he died of a drug overdose, and then they blamed the policeman that trying to arrest him, and then they, he was one of the ones that got him in an ambulance and tried to get him to a hospital. But the same kind of government setup deal that they, the government will lie to you, and the news media will back up their lie and everything about it. So, yeah.
Well, Jason, tell us one before we run out of time. Tell our listeners one more time how they can get your book. Tell them one more time, just in case somebody just tuning in.
Check out the website, dissident.press, not .com, not .biz, dissident.press. You could also find the book on Amazon, but as I was saying, it's cheaper through my website, and there's more options. I would highly recommend going through the website. You can also check out my personal site, jasonkessler.us.
Jason, okay, got you. Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you so much. You really did knock it out of the park. In fact, I told Rich that you and Gene had knocked it over the fence. people, that's it for we just burned 2 hours already. We're going to transition to the third hour. And the number one, the one and only, Bitter Nigger, is going to be taking the third hour because back to Confederate history class. Don't be late. If you're late, Gene will make you wear a dunce cap. We'll be right back in just a few seconds, y'all.